Hello, it's good to have you with us for our service today, whether you're part of our regular congregation or taking part from elsewhere. Our minister Ian Shaddick is on holiday this week, and we welcome as our speaker Leanne Whale from Colchester Road Baptist Church here in Ipswich. We've been blessed by Leanne's ministry now on several occasions. As we continue with our online services for the time being, I want to thank the team that put together these programmes week by week. It's skilled and time-consuming work, and we're all very grateful.
Thank you, Michael. We come this morning first and foremost to acknowledge Jesus as our Lord and Saviour and guide. We come to lift his name high as we worship and give him due honour and praise. And so we start off our worship this morning by singing, Holy is the Lord Almighty. Lift up his name with the sound of singing, for he is worthy to be praised. When we have finished singing this first song, Michael will lead us in a time of prayer.
Let's pray together. God's word says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid." Father, thank you that we can draw near to you in prayer with boldness and confidence, because we know that we are your children on the basis of Christ's finished work on the cross for us. These are difficult and uncertain times for us, and we feel keenly the disappointment of being unable to worship side by side with our brothers and sisters as part of your family, especially those of us who live on our own. However, your word also encourages us to give thanks in all circumstances. We therefore want to thank you for the blessings of home, family, this summer time, and for many of us, health and strength to enjoy all the good things you give us. We continue to pray for our government and all the authorities, that you will give wisdom in striking the difficult balance between protecting our health and maintaining the wider well-being of the nation, our homes, our children. We ask too that our people will play their part by being wise, considerate and careful in all that we do, so that the virus can be stopped in its tracks. Father, we do ask your help, especially for those who are unwell at this time, maybe through a significant health problem they're coping with, the wear and tear of getting older, all the pressure of fear and anxiety brought about by present circumstances. May they know above all your presence and your comfort, and that you will never leave their side, however they are feeling. We thank you too that Daniel, our youth and children's worker, has been able to resume after furlough. We pray for plans to use technology to enable a range of teaching and other activities for our children and young people. May they all too know your love for them in the myriad uncertainties that many of them face, changing schools or year groups, preparing for exams, catching up with work. We thank you too for Ian, our minister, and pray that he, Raquel and Naomi may have a good break, especially as they visit family this weekend for the first time in a while. Please refresh and strengthen Ian and give him your word for us all in these uncertain times. So, Lord, we ask that these online services, Sunday by Sunday, both here in our church and in others, may help many to enjoy a closer relationship with you or find you as Lord and Saviour for the first time. Amen.
Ourselves to meet around your word now. We pray that we would hear your voice this morning. Lord, whether you want to challenge us, encourage us, chastise us, or reaffirm your love for us, may we be open to you today. And Lord, may we not just hear you this morning, may we respond to you. As we allow you to lead and develop our lives in order that praise and honour might come to your holy name. May the words we sing be our heartfelt prayer to you this morning. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food. Thank you.
Kate Green. It's so lovely to be with you again, even if it's virtually. My name's Leanne, and I've had the pleasure of coming and sharing with you a few times before, and now I get to do it virtually. So just a bit about me, really. My husband's Ben, and he's the children's and families worker at Colchester Road Baptist Church. And we've got two children, Simeon and Maisie, who we've been homeschooling during lockdown, which is quite an experience, let me tell you. They have been doing really well. We've gone through several phases of our homeschool life. One which was very expensive with lots of printer ink. We're a bit more on an even keel now though. And most of the time we quite enjoy it. It's not too much of a problem. And they're quite happy being at home with us. The other thing that I've been doing during lockdown is that my Bible art journaling workshops that I've been leading at the Farm by the Water in Curtin have moved online. So I've become a YouTuber, which wasn't something that I really expected. I've also been doing Facebook Lives and Zoom Bible workshops, and it's been really incredible. The group of 15 to 20 people that would come and meet at the Farm by the Water has grown, and we now have people joining us from different parts of the country, different parts of the world, even in America and Dubai. And then my Facebook page and YouTube have got over 100 followers now, and God's really been moving and stirring up people to find new ways of worshipping Him, connecting with Him, listening to His voice, and it's been a really exciting time. But I must tell you, one of the struggles of lockdown has to be the lack of sleep. I don't know about you, but a lot of people I've been speaking to recently have been saying that sleep is a real challenge. Night times are hard, they find it hard to switch off and go to sleep, but then in the daytime they're finding they just drop off and drift off to sleep. I don't so often have that opportunity, but I think that would be me too if I had the chance. But at night time it can be so hard, can't it, to go to sleep at the moment. And so me and my family, we've been praying about that and listening to what God's got to say and asking for His help with our sleep. And do you know what we heard? We heard, wake up! God kept saying, wake up, in lots of different ways over the last few weeks. And so we reached for our Bibles and we were drawn to this verse in Ephesians 5. And it says, wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Wake up! Are you serious? I can't get to sleep. But no, God wants us to wake up, to be spiritually awoken and to find that closeness with Him again. And so we just keep seeking God. And this time when we're awake and not asleep, we seek Him. And we look for Him, and then we find Him. And sometimes we get a bit of sleep too. You see, in this passage in Ephesians, we find Paul talking to a church which is really different from anything we can understand today. Ephesus was a mixing pot of different religions, different cultures. It was a meeting point of ways, a trade route from land and sea. Different religions, different people, different experiences. And the more experiences you had, the better. And that was a real challenge for the early church, because they were teaching that you needed to live in a particular way to find true freedom. That when you just engage in everything all around you, you actually end up trapped in sin rather than in the fullness of freedom that Christ offers. And so here we have Paul talking to this melting pot of different experiences and cultures, and this epicenter of change. And I wonder, what's your home like at the moment? Has it become become a meeting point of different ways. It's an interesting time, isn't it? We are letting so many voices into our homes. The TV, the radio, the internet, maybe the telephone call, deliveries. What's coming into your home? Are there things coming in that you never normally would have been letting in? You've been bored, so you've been flicking through Netflix more. Or you've been speaking to people that you know drag you down and make you talk in ways that you don't want to talk. But it's a funny season and everything's changed, and we don't have the accountability that we did when we were living our lives in a normal way. And so I wonder how you find your home right now. Does it make you uncomfortable that I'm even talking about this? Or are you thinking, no, Leanne, you've got it all wrong. We're fine, we've kept really close to God in this season. And that's great, isn't it? Those moments of closeness to God are fantastic. But I think it's also always really important to keep checking ourselves, to keep going back and making sure that what we're letting in is the good, the best, the true, so that we can continue to grow in Christ in this time, so that we can continue to live our lives in His fullness and not letting ourselves slip into other ways. And so we're going to talk about that a bit this morning. We're going to wake up, church. It's going to be exciting. And we're going to let the light of Christ shine through us. Our reading today is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 17. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be any kind of hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, because it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So the best place to start from when God wakes us up is to look to his example, because that's where we'll find the good, the right, and the true. It's there, that in that good place, that we find God's example of love. And that is the goodness in our lives. If we read Ephesians 5 from the Message version, just verses 1 and 2. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behaviour from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loves us. His love was not cautious but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. We need to look to God's example in Jesus and learn to love like that. Like children who have learned from their parents, we must learn from our Father. Families have had to learn to love each other and show their love and teach their children more proactively than they've had to do for generations. With homeschooling becoming the reality for the majority of families in our country and around the world, parents have had to step into the role of educating their children. Many having to make sacrifices, not just of their own needs, but of their work and of the needs of social needs around them. They've had to squeeze in their work where they can. For many parents, the sacrifices went beyond anything they're prepared for, and they had to battle through. How do they look after their children and keep them safe and educate them and feed them and make sure that they're still socially able and they're able to do all the other important things for their developmental stage, even when they're just at home, in their own four walls, and all they want to do is play and watch TV because it's their safe space? How do we do that without cracking at the seams ourselves as parents? For us, in our family, it's meant being more open and vulnerable than we ever have before. Our children know us like they never did. Like they always wanted to, so Simeon says. They know our strengths and our weaknesses. And if Simeon sees me struggling, he will announce it's time for Mummy's comfort hour. His own idea. And he'll send me out for a walk, or he'll get me my book. We've had to step up and teach our children skills beyond the realms of normal life. We've had to teach them how to cope in a time of crisis. And if we didn't know how to do that, there was just one place that we had to look. To do this, to survive this, to thrive in this, we had to learn to live a life of love like Jesus, where we sacrifice of ourselves, giving wholly of ourselves, not holding back from each other, but extravagantly giving to each other. We saw Jesus putting the needs of others first, constantly during his time on earth. When Jesus was at the wedding in Cana, Mary asked him to turn the water into wine, and Jesus said, "This isn't the time." And yet he still did that miracle because he was self-sacrificing. He was giving of himself over and over again. And I wonder what else Jesus had been doing even before that moment, because Mary knew, didn't she, that he was going to do that for them, that Jesus would always seek to meet the needs of those around them. He must have been like that in the family home, because otherwise Mary would never have asked. I wonder if people ask you when they've got something that they'd like to see happen. If they need some help, do they come to you? This is a good marker point for knowing if you are good at living a life of self-sacrificing love. Do people ask for your help? Or do they not bother? Sit with that for a while. You need to think about that. You need to know whether this is a strength for you or whether it's something you're going to be working on over the next few weeks. Do people come and ask you to help? So we've thought, haven't we, about the good, and now we're going to look at the right. See, the choices that we make a big difference to the way that we behave and act. And the things that we listen to and watch can have a big pattern on our patterns of speech. Paul urges the church in Ephesus not to gossip or to speak crudely. There could have been a temptation for you during this time of lockdown to let your speech change because you don't have the accountability that you would normally have in normal life. Maybe that you've just been surrounded by so much bad news that you've found bitterness creeping up inside you and you just haven't known what to do about it. You're aware that something's not good and it's not right and you want to change it, but you just don't know how. Paul challenges us in verse 4 to change our patterns of speech to patterns of thankfulness, to have thanksgiving as our dialogue. He says to go beyond just not saying bad things, to actually having speech patterns which enable us to focus on the things that we're thankful for, the things that God has given us. But how do we learn how to do this? Let's just get really practical for a minute, shall we? If I'm learning at school, I've been doing this with my homeschooling. First of all, we start off really practically. If we're counting, we grab something that we can physically count and we count it out. Buttons, marbles, whatever is at hand. And we start off physically doing it. And then we move on to using those ideas, those numbers in number sentences and sums, and we get it down on paper. And then after that, if we can, we can get it into our conversation and solve problems using our number skills. Maybe we can apply that here. So if physically we want to start remembering to be thankful, how can we do that? Well, what I suggest you do is you grab a jar. Any jar will do. Decorate it, make it pretty, make it something that you want to go to, and keep it with a stack of paper and a pen. And then take time once every day to go and write down at least 3 things that you're thankful for. 3 good things that are going on in life right now. It can be as simple and little as just having the air to breathe. Or it can be great big things like a new job or a baby to celebrate. There are no end of things to be thankful for once we start thinking and focusing our mind on those things. This is going to start our brains just thinking in a slightly different way. Just being conscious of the good things going on, not just the bad things. It's going to start training us to draw closer to Jesus, because he is who we're thanking for all these good things. It is because of him and his impact in our lives that we have these things to be thankful for. And so it's going to start changing us ever so subtly at first. Now, this next step I want you to try is to get those ideas and those things that you're thankful for in some sort of communication with another person. Now, first of all, I would encourage you to do this in writing. Now, maybe it's an email, a text, a letter. Love letters. definitely go for a letter if you can, because writing something, especially handwriting something, really slows us down. You can't just gobble it all out. It has to be thought through, spelled out, and so you're much more aware of what you're saying. And so you can write to someone and tell them about the things that you're thankful for and ask them in return what they're thankful for. And so therefore you start a conversation of thankfulness. And that's where we're aiming for, isn't it? That thanksgiving as our dialect. Now, when you send those letters, those texts, you're not just sending something that's helped you. This is going to help the person receiving it too, because it's going to bring them hope, and what a gift that is. And then we want to start using these ideas in our conversation, in our speech patterns. These can be the hardest things to change, and potentially we're a bit more self-conscious about this. We know how we normally talk, and we know how that kind of makes us come across, and this is going to impact on how we're coming across to people. But you see, if we can talk in patterns of thankfulness, we're going to be able to talk in ways that communicate our reliance on God, because we're communicating that we're thankful for what he's doing in our lives. And so I want to encourage you to start being a bit more conscious about how you're having your conversations with each other. Now, when I was a child and I was learning to pray, I was taught the teaspoon prayer, TSP, thank you, sorry, please. And I wonder if that's something we can apply in our conversations too. I'm hoping that we don't need to say sorry to each other every time we have a conversation. Maybe we do. But I want you to start your conversations with a new person, whenever you talk to them, with something that you're thankful for. Use that as your launching point. We have a pattern of speech in our culture, don't we, where our starting point is, how are you? Now, that question is really, really important. But how many people are honest in their response when that is the first thing you ask someone when you see them? And so instead of how are you, I want you to tell someone what you're thankful for and invite them to tell you something they're thankful for too. And it will start your conversation off in a different place. It might not happen every time. It might happen only once. It might happen regularly, but try it and see how it impacts your faith life and your relationships with other people to start from this point of thanksgiving. And this starts in this place of reliance on God and being thankful for those moments. And it will also start waking us up to His presence, His wonderful life-giving presence in our lives. So we've been wrestling with some big things this morning. We've been looking at ourselves, examining ourselves, seeking the good, the right and the true, and trying to live in that. But I wanted to leave you with some encouragement this morning. You see, we're waking up and we're seeking the good as we share self-sacrificing love of Jesus. We're seeking the right as we speak to each other in patterns of thankfulness. And as we wake right up and seek the truth, that's where we find ourselves sharing the light that comes from our glorious Jesus Christ. You see, I love this part of the passage because Paul reminds us of the things that we need to do. As he's reminded us of the things that we need to do to wake up, he also reminds us of where we find ourselves positioned. We are right now in the light. Not on our way into the light. Not if we do these things and get it right that we're in the light. Not that we're sometimes in and sometimes out, whether we're good or we're bad. We all are children of the light right now and always. Ephesians 5 verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You are light in the Lord. It's not something that comes or goes. If we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in that passage where it talks about God storing up his treasure in us as jars of clay. We look at verse 6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That light is found within us right now. You might have been challenged by some of the things that we've been looking at this morning, but be encouraged also that as you place your trust in Jesus, his light was within you and his light is shining out of you. Now we've seen all over our town and our country in this season, those images of rainbows, haven't we, in people's windows. That really important symbol of hope that comes from that story of Noah and the restoration that God was offering. And his promise never to flood like that again. It is our symbol of hope, isn't it? And one of those things that has always stuck with me is the thought that we can be that light that brings the rainbow. You see, as light shines out of us, as we communicate in those patterns of thankfulness, as we love each other self-sacrificingly, as we allow God's light to shine out of us. We shine into those storms in other people's lives. We shine into that darkness and trouble that other people are experiencing, that others in our family are experiencing, that we ourselves are experiencing, and we need others to shine light into sometimes. And that light brings the rainbow. Because when those two things meet together, the light and the darkness, the storm, that hammering down of rain that some people have been experiencing, probably that all of us have been experiencing at different times in this season, as we bring that light into that storm, it casts the rainbow, that hope. Those two things need to meet, the darkness and the light, because when that light comes and hits that darkness, that is where we see God's ray of hope. And that's a great gift in this season. And that isn't about anything you do or anything you say. That is about what God's placed in you, what he's equipped you with as he's placed Holy Spirit in your heart. And so be encouraged this morning. Yes, there are always ways to draw closer to God. Yes, we desperately seek those times of closeness with him. But be encouraged that he is within you, that his light is part of you, and that he is drawing that hope into those dark situations in this season. So as we draw our time together to a close this morning, I just invite you to place your hands up. And we'll just pray simply, come Holy Spirit. Come and speak to us as we listen to you. Fill us with encouragement and hope. And may we know that your light is within us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Bye.
My goodness, there's so much to take from this morning. Leanne, thank you for speaking to us today. It's been wonderful to hear you again. As always, for everybody who would like to, do join us on Zoom at 11:45 for coffee and chat. Ian will be back working from Thursday this week, and so we will be looking at Daniel chapter 11 next Sunday morning, as we draw very close to the end of this current series. But for now, as we set forth into this coming week, we seek the good, the right, and the true as we wake up to God. We've been reminded that we should be encouraged as we place our trust in Jesus. His light is within us. His light is part of us. And his light is shining out of us. We can be the light that brings the rainbow of Christ into other people's lives. The picture in our final song therefore shows a rainbow, not in some magnificent, awesome setting, showing God's promise for all in the grandeur of his creation. The rainbow of God's promise is shown over normal houses in Ipswich, in a street just like where we may live, reminding us that we can be the light that brings that rainbow of Christ into other people's lives when we let him into every part of our lives. Be my everything, Lord God. Be in everything I do and say this week for the glory of your name.
God in my life.